Amen. Praise the Lord. That was worth coming to church for. I don't know how six people sound like a choir, but that was amazing. Praise the Lord. I forgot to do this earlier, but it's very important, so I want to do it. We have some missionaries, who you know from our church family, the Kelloggs. Roger and Domrys Kellogg are in Guatemala serving. And we got a message from them this week that they had held a retreat for a bunch of young ladies who had been either abused or been involved in human trafficking. A bunch of girls that they brought together to minister to, and 16 of them gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. Yes, amen. So we're going to light this candle just to celebrate. Domery said, light the candle, Pastor. We're celebrating 16 new members of our family, the family of God. Amen. It's good news. God is at work in many, many ways. I'm still amazed at that song. That was a great song. Thank you. Thank you for singing. You know, my father started a tradition at our house. On Christmas Day, before we had opened presents, we always read Luke chapter 2. Had to. I mean, as little kids, it was very aggravating. Want to get to those presents? Nope, we're reading the Bible. But I got the message. It's important. The story of Jesus, and we do that in our family now, we always have, and it's important to remember and look at the simple story of Jesus, an amazing story. And so before we race on to New Year and the New Year, we're going to take one more look at the story of Jesus this morning in Luke chapter 2. Someone said that I read this week that we need to look at this and either read it or listen to it like it's the first time you've heard it, because we get so used to it. We don't realize how amazing this is, what God has done for us. Stand as you read God's word, Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Lord, thank you so much for this amazing story. A very familiar story to us, but it is powerful. And we pray today, Lord, you'll speak to our hearts about this good news that we read about today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So the angel came and said, brought this good news to you. I bring you good news of great joy. So we're going to talk about this good news of great joy today. Why is it such good news? That's the question. Why is it such good news? Well, there's many reasons. First, the good news is God has become one of us. God has become one of us. The baby born in Bethlehem was the birth of God on earth. Emmanuel, God with us. The miracle of the incarnation, really the greatest of all miracles. The miracle of the incarnation. God became one of us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Emmanuel. Have you ever wondered, is God really with us? Is God really Emmanuel? Is he really here? Going through a tough time, you ask yourself the question, maybe, is God really seeing me? Is God really with me? I had a time in my life where I was struggling with that. And God did a miraculous thing to just encourage me. And I want to share it with you. Many of you have heard this story. It's a fishing story. But if you've heard it, we'll just pretend you heard it again. But I feel like I really need to share this story with you again, because it was really an amazing way that God ministered to my heart and made me very aware that He was Emmanuel, God with me. Well, I lived up in northern Idaho. I used to go fishing a lot on the Salmon River for steelhead. Steelhead are an ocean-going trout. They get usually pretty good size, and they go out in the ocean and live and then come back and spawn in the Idaho rivers where they die. And I would go fishing with some friends, and they showed me the good spots to go there, and I'm afraid I can't tell you where those are. But anyway, it's secret. But I would go there, and oftentimes I'd go by myself, and I learned this method of fishing from the shore using a little thing called a side planer. And what it does is you put your line out there, and it goes against the current. It keeps the line in the water out there, and the lure wiggles behind it a few feet. So your line's out there. You just set it up in a rock, prop it up there, put a bell on the pole. In case you get a bite, you'll know, and you set down and wait. I would usually start a fire, and on this day I started a fire, and just reading my Bible, just remembering and just praying and just spending time at that beautiful place. Any of you that has fished for any kind of fish, especially steelhead, know you can fish all day long and never get a bite. I mean, it's just uncertain. You don't know when you're going to get a fish, if you're even going to get a fish. So I was just there waiting, and I'd spend many days there just with no success, some days. On this particular day, I was reading the Bible, and I came across this verse that said, where a man said to Jesus, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And I confessed that to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I'm just struggling a bit. I really need to know that you're here. I really need to know that you see me and that you're with me." And I was felt to pray a strange prayer, and I don't think we should pray this often, but I prayed that I'd catch a fish. Fishermen do that all the time, by the way. I prayed that I'd catch a fish at 5 minutes till 11. And I prayed that lightning was going to come out of heaven and strike me dead along the river. I'm testing the Lord, you know, is he going to answer that prayer? But I just kind of felt it was of the Lord that I was supposed to do that. And so I sat by the fire, kind of uncomfortable, waiting and waiting. And then as it got closer, I felt like the Lord said, "If you feel like you're going to get a fish, pick up your pole." So I picked up the pole. Now, I'll never forget this. I picked up the pole. I had the end of the pole right here on my waist, hanging onto the pole right here. With my other hand, I had the watch out, watching the thing go. Exactly, just watching it go. And when the second hand got exactly at 5 minutes to 11, a fish hit my line. One of those big fish. It was a miracle. I mean, that doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. Now, I lost the fish after a couple minutes, and I felt like the Lord said, "I'm letting you know I'm here. You can catch your own fish." I didn't pray to catch a fish, really, to catch fish. I wanted to know God was there, and God made it very clear that He was Emmanuel. He was with me. I've never forgot that. It was a miraculous thing in my life, even though it's a fishing story. God was with me. I was all by myself down in the Salmon River, but I had a good worship service. I actually sang the song we just sang, "How Great Thou Art," just to praise God for letting Him know that He saw me, He was with me, and I could trust Him. Awesome. The Lord became one of us. It's good news. Now, you might not have a story like that, and that's fine, but you need to know that no matter what you're going through, God is with you. Don't doubt it. God is with you. Good news also that Jesus conquers our fears. He conquers our fears. When the angels showed up to the shepherds on that night, who were just minding their own business, doing their job, they were scared to death. That's whatever happens when an angel shows up, by the way. And they said to the angels, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Now, there's a lot of things that we're afraid of, but we're not supposed to be afraid. Why? Because God is with us. God is with us. I remember a story. I probably shouldn't tell this story because someone talked to me after the first service and their opinion of me went way down after this story, but I'm going to lay it out there anyway. When I was in college, we did some things we probably shouldn't have done. And I remember a particular time we were walking, a bunch of us were walking from the men's dorm to the cafeteria to eat. It was nighttime. There had been a beautiful snow fall down. And it was just a beautiful snow that was just made perfect snowballs. And we got to where Holly Street cut through the campus, where it used to cut through the campus, and there was cars going by, and we thought, well, let's throw them at the cars. So we did that for a little while, and we were standing along the road, and all of a sudden, a car came by. It was kind of a low rider, really low to the ground, came by, and we hit it with snowballs, and it stopped. Four doors opened, and four big, mean-looking guys stepped out. And I was immediately afraid. I thought, oh, no, we're in big trouble. We're really in big trouble. But then I looked to my right, and I looked to my left, and there was a lot of us throwing snowballs. And one of the friends said, let them have it. And so we began to just pummel them with snowballs. They got in their car and went away. I didn't need to be afraid because I wasn't alone. That's the point of the story. I don't recommend you do that. Kids, you're in church today. Don't be throwing snowballs at cars. That's not what pastors said to do. Anyway, I probably regret this. But anyway, I wasn't afraid because I had people with me. I wasn't alone. God is with us. We don't need to be afraid. There's so many things you can be afraid about. We've gone through a period in our country where there's been so much fear, and there's still fear. But we don't have to be afraid. That's one of the great news of Christmas. Don't be afraid. God is with us. One of the things that is that we're afraid of often is death. But the good news is Jesus conquered death for us. And in Hebrews it says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That's the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. We don't have to be afraid of death. It's going to come to all of us someday. We don't have to be afraid of it. Jesus conquered death. He gives us eternal life in his name. Good news. The good news also is that Jesus offers us great joy. Great joy. You know, we had a kids program up here the other day, and a couple weeks ago, and they did a great job, said their lines. Heard a story of a little girl who had memorized her lines, all the family showed up to take pictures and see her say her lines, and when she got up here, she just froze. She couldn't remember a word of her lines, but her mom was sitting on the front row, mouthing the words for her, like several moms do, and the words were, I bring you good news of great joy. And the mom mouthed those words on the front row. So the girl who was frozen by the crowd looked at her mom and said, my mom brings you good news of great joy. She got it partially right. The angel said, I bring you good news of great joy. I think it's interesting that he says, not a little bit of joy, not medium joy, great joy. Great joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. You know, I think some people have the wrong idea that God is a killjoy, that God doesn't want us to be happy. And the fact is, God is the author of joy. But it comes from him. It's his joy. God is a God of joy. It says in John, when Jesus was praying to his heavenly Father in John 17, he said, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Full measure of my joy. I just think that's maybe something we don't really appreciate or take advantage of enough. This amazing joy that God has for us. It's his joy. He shares it with us. Joy to the world. There's good news is that Jesus came to be our Savior. The angel announced, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Yes, he was the Messiah, the promised King, but he's a Savior. He came to be our Savior. And the fact is, we need a Savior. We need a Savior. 1 John 4:14 says that we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. I had an uncle, Uncle Norman, who fought in World War II. He was part of the group that was there right after the troops stormed the beaches and had a foothold in Europe to begin to retake Europe from the Nazi Germans. And he was part of that group. And his kids, a while back, he's gone to heaven now, but his kids found in his belongings before he died a medal that he received. And they said, "Dad, what's up with this medal? You didn't tell us about this medal. What's the story?" And the story was, he was part of a unit that went out. Their assignment one morning was to go out and determine where the German lines were. And they went out, and they absolutely determined where the German lines, and killed his whole unit except for him and one other guy who was wounded. The wounded guy told Norman, "Just get out of here and save your life. Don't worry about me. Just get out of here." Norman says, "Nope, I'm taking you out." And so with gunfire firing all around him, he picked up his wounded buddy and carried him to safety. Saved his life. And for that, he received that medal. A hero. And I was thinking about that story and what Christ has done for us. Because we are the wounded man in the story. Because of our sin, we're separated from God. We're wounded. We are helpless to save ourselves, but Jesus won't leave us there. He came to us to be our Savior. He's the one that came into enemy territory and saves us and carries us home. Praise the Lord, we have a Savior. We need a Savior. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The good news is that Jesus is the promised King as well, the promised King. The angel announced that the one that was born is the Christ. That's the word means anointed one or chosen one. It is the equivalent to the word Messiah. The promised King that was promised has come. Not just ordinary birth. This is the King coming to earth. You know, the angel told Mary this amazing promise. You'll be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. The throne. He is the King. The King. When the wise men came, they asked to find the newborn King. They realized the King had been born. This King of the universe came to earth for us. Humbled himself and became a man, but he's still King. And he's still King today. King of kings and Lord of lords. Worshipped in heaven. And we worship him today. He is the King. The good news is also that Jesus is the Lord of all. Lord of all. The angel said that the one born in Bethlehem was Christ the Lord. Now that's a name for God. God became one of us. God came to earth. The Lord. The Lord that created and overlooked millions of stars now lays in hay on a manger. The Lord that created all the animals of the earth, it shares a stable with them. The Lord who created all of mankind now becomes one of them. The Lord who created and all that we have had to learn to walk and talk like all children do. He is still the Lord, but he humbled himself to become one of us. He placed all the exercise of his power, his glory, his majesty under the control of his heavenly Father. And he only did what the heavenly Father told him to do when he was here on earth. But he's the Lord. I imagine the angels probably were in shock on this day. Don't you think they were in shock? They know who Jesus is. And to see him born as a helpless baby in Bethlehem, they were just going, "I don't get it. I don't understand." Jesus, the Lord of all, came to earth. And it's important because the one who came is the same one who died for us on a cross. And it wasn't an ordinary man who came. It was the Lord. It wasn't an ordinary man that died on the cross. It was the Lord who died on the cross for you and me. Romans chapter 10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's pretty important that we understand who Jesus is. The good news is also that Jesus can be found. The shepherds were told on this night where they could find Jesus. This will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Now, mangers aren't the normal place you'd expect to find babies, right? But they found him there, lying in a manger, just like the angel said. They gave them directions so they could find Jesus. God wanted them to find Jesus. And God still wants us to find Jesus. He's not hiding. Have you guys ever played hide and seek? Okay, two of you. You guys aren't being very honest. Okay, that's better. I see some more. You know, I grew up on a farm, and man, we had some great places to play hide and seek because there was barns and sheds and haystacks and all kinds of things to hide in. And it was hard to find people. And so basically after a while, if you didn't want to stay hidden all day, you'd have to make some noise so they could find you, right? Give them a clue. I'm over here. Start bounding on something. Otherwise, it's going to be a lonely day. When we think about God, he's not hiding from us. He is making noise. He's letting us know where he is. He's given us clues. He's given us evidence. He's not hiding from us. The fact is, he's looking for us. And if we seek him, we have to seek him. We find he's right there. He's right there. Jeremiah the prophet wrote for God, "You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." That's one of the good news of Christmas. He's not hiding. He's come to us. He's right there. We just need to trust in him. The good news is that Jesus reveals the glory of God. On that night that Jesus showed up, the angel choir shows up, and the glory of God filled the night sky. I mean, it was like the lights came on from darkness to bright light, God's glory. The glory of God. Now, in the Old Testament, the glory of God showed up in a lot of ways. You know, in the Exodus, by a cloud by day and fire by night, and by that, they understood something about the nature of God, because his glory really is a reflection of his nature. In the Old Testament times, they had the tabernacle where they built the Holy of Holies, where God's presence dwelt, his glory, and no one could go in there except the priest one day a year. But we know that Jesus Christ came to earth. The glory of God came to earth. The sun is the radiance of God's glory, the scripture says. John in his gospel says it this way, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus brought the glory of God down to earth, up close and personal, so that we can approach him. That curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom when Jesus died on the cross, forever saying we can come into the very presence of God. The glory of God is not off limits. We can come in the name of Jesus. He made the glory of God approachable in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's good news. The good news is that we can have perfect peace. Perfect peace. The angel choir sang, "Peace on earth. Peace on earth." You know, ever since Adam and Eve were left the garden, they were kicked out of the garden, the world has been searching for peace. We look in so many places for peace. Countries wage war to try to find peace. Armies set boundaries to try to establish peace. Leaders strike deals to try to maintain peace. People take pills to try to achieve peace. Some people drink to try to find peace. All the while, ignoring the only one who can truly give us peace, and that's Jesus Christ. You can't buy peace. Doesn't matter how much money you have. You could be a billionaire, and you might not have peace. Money doesn't give you peace. Success doesn't give you peace. Nothing gives you peace except Jesus. Jesus Christ is a source of peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what everyone on this planet needs, is peace with God through Jesus Christ. Peace with God through Jesus Christ. In that day, Jesus was born into a world controlled by the Romans. And the Romans had this thing called Pax Romana, which was peace. And they had peace because of their military might. But Jesus came to bring us a different kind of peace. It's a peace in our heart. We have a right relationship with God, forgiven of our sins, and have eternal life. Good news is also that Jesus offers us amazing grace. Amazing grace. The last part of that thing says, on whom his favor rests. I love those words. It's his grace. I think that's a good definition of grace. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Grace means we receive what we don't deserve at all. We don't deserve God's attention, yet he gives it. We don't deserve God's love, yet he gives us his love. We didn't deserve God to send his son to come down to be one of us, but he did it. We don't deserve Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, but he did it. We don't deserve for Jesus to forgive us when we confess our sins and place our faith in him, but he does it. That's grace. We get something we don't deserve, this amazing grace of God. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he's lavished on us with wisdom and understanding. When Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem on that day, it was an invasion of the amazing grace of God to earth. The amazing grace of God. And we're all thankful for it. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He will die 5 miles away in Jerusalem. It'll take him about 33 years to make that journey. He's going to grow up, be a man, be trained by his earthly father Joseph to the carpentry trade. Then he enters into his ministry and begins to preach about the kingdom of God. He has disciples that follow him, and he teaches them and trains them. He preaches, he heals people. Lame people could walk, blind people could see, deaf people could hear. Dead people were raised back to life. Demons were cast out. Jesus did a multitude of miracles. There was no one ever like Jesus. It was amazing, his life that he lived. He never sinned, although he was tempted like all of us. When the time came right, in God's timing, he allowed himself to go to Jerusalem, even though he knew they were going to kill him. He voluntarily surrendered to them, to the death, his death on the cross for us, even though he could have called 10,000 angels to rescue him. He did it for you and me, and he died on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven of our sins and have eternal life. He was buried in a tomb, but in 3 days he was raised back to life, victorious over sin and death. And he lives today, and he intercedes for us at the right hand of God the Father. And any who will turn to him and place their faith in him will be saved, become part of this amazing family of God. We celebrate all that God has done for us at Christmas time. Amen. This is not just a Christmas message. This is a year-round message, an eternal message. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Good news, good news. We're going to sing a song together. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. And worship the Lord. As we sing this song, if you need to pray, we always let our altars being opened as a place of prayer. If there's something you need to pray about, we're heading into a new year. You might need to pray about that. Maybe you got some challenges going on. Maybe you got someone you're praying for. Maybe you just need to thank God for what he's done. We're going to sing together, and if you need to pray, come and we'll pray together this morning. Let's stand as we sing to the Lord.
Jesus, your name.